Let me get the rage out of the way first. There's no Octopod live dive tomorrow. Okay. Let me just go ahead and get that out there and let's go ahead and tick everybody off right from the start. No live dive Octopod tomorrow.
There might be, actually.
Well, there's a Barncast, but is there going to be a live dive Octopod too?
I'm available again.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, hey, you know what? I belong at SEC spring meetings in Destin because I'm just lying.
Do we want to start over or are we good?
No, we're good.
We're good. Okay.
I think that'll get people's attention. So, all right, never mind. Maybe tune in for the live dive tomorrow. So more.
Okay, I got to tell you why I'm available after the show because it's okay. The most unbelievable thing ever. I can't believe I haven't told you yet. Anyway,
okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Okay. SEC spring meetings in Destin. More comments yesterday and maybe not directly related to spring meetings.
Bro.
Steve Sarkisian's right about something, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But Arkansas's athletic director did something strange yesterday. He put out a post. I'm not going to read the post word for word. You can find it. But he calls out ESPN for giving them a nighttime, like a 9:15 game time on September 12th. And then an 11 a.m. kickoff against Georgia on September 19th.
Mm-hmm.
And then goes on this tirade about how, all right, let me read this excerpt from it. This type of scheduling is unacceptable and demonstrates a clear neglect for the well-being of college athletes. I am confident that there are not many other programs in the SEC that would be placed in a similar position, and I will not quietly accept it for our program.
So I love that this is the AD that all Arkansas fans are like, this guy doesn't care about winning. I mean, He publicly did that interview where it's like, you know, I don't know if he like blatantly said it, but he hinted and suggested that like Arkansas can't compete for a national championship. And it ticked a lot of people off. And it's like, oh, now you care about the winning.
Yeah.
Now you care about it. What did he think that this was going to do? What did he think? Do you think? Hold on.
Yeah. Let's go to intent.
Arkansas.
Yeah.
You think ESPN cares about you? You?
Well,
Arkansas?
Zach, I'll take it a step further. You think ESPN cares about the well-being of student athletes? It's not their job. They're a multi-billion-dollar entertainment company. They're an entertainment company. Let me say that again. They're an entertainment company. They're not a sports company. They're in an entertainment company that happens to deal in sports.
Yeah, right.
Their job isn't to care for the well-being of student athletes. Their job is to schedule entertainment programming that will create the most revenue for them. When Arkansas schedules a game at Utah, what time do you think it's going to start?
That's not going to be an 11 a.m. kick, guys. It's just not. You're not playing at 10 o'clock in the morning, Utah time. Hate to break it to you, Arkansas.
What do you think TV's going to schedule there? And then you're facing Georgia. I don't know what other games are that way. I haven't looked at the other games. But like Auburn, Florida's that week. Auburn, Florida's not going to kick at 11, so Arkansas, Georgia can kick at 6:30.
What year do we play Cal at midnight?
23. Yeah, it was late.
And then when was it 21 where we played at LSU and it was super late?
Maybe. We've played 8 p.m. home games before.
Yeah, it's just not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
I get that like, his arguments, it's on the road, but.
Yeah. Yeah, the argument
played
is.
Stanford the week after we played Cal super late. But
He says, we anticipate returning to campus at approximately 6 a.m. on Sunday. The assigned schedule will cost our student athletes nearly a full day of rest and recovery that they would otherwise have available to them.
How do you think Alex Golish would have handled this? Let's just don't say anything and let's just play the games. You know, going into it, like, all right, we've got an extra
if you have Alex
one
Dolich
last day of prep. Let's adjust accordingly. And let's don't make ourselves look like a public losers with your AD having to put out a press release, a statement saying like, oh, we've got a host. Is it Georgia or Texas? It's Georgia.
Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah. Arkansas, you could have off weeks prior to Georgia. They're still going to stomp you. Stop it.
I love that you're coming out so fired up about this, because I think that's the who's not. Who does outside of the state of Arkansas and probably even half their fans? We're all having the same reaction.
This is what bothers me about it, Brad. Yeah. And like, coaches have a different role than ADs. If a coach comes out and says something, okay, whatever. Maybe it's strategic, maybe it's not. They're there to coach. They're there to do what they think is best for their football program.
Yeah.
When an athletic director does something, like, that is a different role. That's a different job. You have a different platform. And when you just, like, that is a job that if you're in that world, I don't know why anybody would want to be an AD, but there's a lot of people who that's their goal. I respect it.
Yeah.
They probably feel the same way about podcasting. That's fine.
Sure.
But there's a lot of people who enter that space with the goal of not only being an AD, but, man, I'd love to be an AD at a P4 program. Or, man, I'd love to be an AD at the SEC level.
Yeah.
And then you see people do stupid stuff like this, and it's like, why is he one of the select few that get a crack at this?
Hey.
It's wild to me, and I'm having a hard time comprehending that this happened.
He's not just an AD, Zach. He's the head of the playoff committee. He's the head of the playoff committee. There's so much. So, and here's my biggest problem. I love that that's your biggest problem with it. My biggest problem with it is it's sensationalism for no other purpose than sensationalism. Because that's not the argument. You don't really think it's ESPN's job to look out for player welfare. Who signs the contract with ESPN knowing ESPN's an entertainment company? Like, if you want to be upset with conference administrators who sign the deals.
Mm-hmm.
Don't act surprised when ESPN writes billion-dollar checks and then wants to exercise the control you sold them.
I want to go back to the game times thing again, because once again, like, why would you schedule someone in a time zone that's later than you if that's your concern? And then also, do you know why your 11 o'clock tip against Georgia? You know, our 11 o'clock kick against Georgia, you know why? Because no one's expecting that to be a game.
Yeah.
That's why that's there.
Yeah.
Pablo Escobarner, one of my favorite follows on X, he replied to the tweet and said, "This is really unfortunate, and I hate it for you. Tune into ESPN at 6 p.m. Central if you'd like to watch Auburn host Florida in a night game for the SEC opener."
Can you imagine with all the dollars ESPN is sinking into their entertainment product, sitting around that table and going, "All right, guys, listen. We got Auburn, Florida. We got Arkansas, Georgia. And I don't know. I didn't see the rest of the schedule.
I think that's LSU Ole Miss."
No, is it really?
I think we get LSU Ole Miss going into Auburn, Florida. It's going to be the best Saturday of the year.
Okay. Imagine sitting around that table with millions of dollars invested and going, "All right, well, this seems like a layup to me. Arkansas, Georgia, the early game. They need the game day lead in. They're going to play the early game. I mean, we got Ole Miss, LSU. That's ABC. I mean, that's ABC today."
Yeah.
And then you also got Auburn, Florida. That's Summerall. That's Auburn. That's a great rivalry that hadn't played in 7 years. And, well, that's a primetime game. That's a no-brainer. And then you got Milton over in the corner. Like, but guys, have we considered that we have Arkansas playing at 9 o'clock the week before? What about those poor student athletes at Arkansas?
Yeah, then everybody looks at, what'd you name them? Milton.
Yeah.
Milton in the corner, like, What about Arkansas? What about them?
You're like, hey, Milton, could you run? Could you maybe go get the coffee pot so that everybody could get a refresher on this?
Yeah.
This is not a thing to spend any time thinking about. If it was actually about rest and recovery, oh, by the way, most SEC programs offer more in terms of recovery and nutrition and player well-being than some NFL franchises.
Like, these kids are also like 20 years old.
Yeah.
And Georgia's going to stomp you anyway. So this is week three. So I also think this would be hilarious. So Georgia at Arkansas is at 11.
Yeah.
And then you've got two 11:45 games. You've got Troy at Missouri and NC State at Vandy. It'd be hilarious if they like switched one of those with it and gave them 45 more minutes. That'd be
give
so
11:45.
Funny. Yeah. You have Kentucky at Texas A&M. You have Florida State at Alabama. You have Mississippi State at South Carolina, which is actually kind of interesting. Yeah. You have Florida at Auburn. LSU at Ole Miss. New Mexico at Oklahoma. The night slate.
Yeah.
After that is kind of whatever. New Mexico at Oklahoma. Kennesaw State, not a state, at Tennessee, and then UTSA at Texas. Yeah, that's going to be an incredible Saturday.
Yeah. It's just a shame that Arkansas couldn't be competitive in the game, and their athletic director is saying in May that they can't be competitive in that game because they played at 9 o'clock the week before. How do these guys ever expect to be professional players if they got to play a late game 1 week? What happens 1 week when you got to play a Monday night game and then turn around and play on Sunday afternoon? What are you doing?
If I'm Arkansas, I am so embarrassed right now.
That's crazy. It's wrong on about four different fronts.
It's just, I just can't believe an AD is publicly saying that. That's crazy. Like, what do you think is going to happen, my guy?
Yeah. The least front on which it's just egregiously wrong is the old, like, just stop complaining about start times anyway.
Why are these, like, grown successful? Like, you know, I'm assuming they're all successful, right? Like, they've got, whether you're an AD or a coach, you have one of the 16 jobs in the SEC. Like, you don't do that on accident. Right. That takes a life of dedicating to this craft to get that opportunity. These are successful people. Why are we all whining all the time?
It's crazy.
You didn't get there by whining.
It doesn't matter who you play, when you play, where you play. Line up and play. Like, there's some of this.
A lot of the coaching carousel, Brad Golish was rumored to Arkansas.
Yeah.
How do you think he feels about that this morning?
Oh, what if Golish had an AD that said something like that? Can you imagine admitting in May that you can't be competitive in that game because it's a week after a night game on the road?
That is a new hire, and I would just be like, I mean, so I thought about this a good bit.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's a chance the coach went to him. There's a chance. I think it's very low, but there is a chance.
If you're Ryan Silverfield, you need to today come out and with as much authority as you can muster, say, it does not matter when we play, who we play, where we play. I appreciate my athletic director trying to take up for our student athletes, but when it comes to the game, just put it, we'll go play in a parking lot somewhere. Like
You don't need to do that for us. You don't need to do that to save face publicly.
Yeah,
you need to do it for your players.
For your play, no question.
Because your AD told your football team you can't beat Georgia on six days.
That's right.
Which is true, by the way. They can't. But they also couldn't beat them on 7 days, or if there was a bye week and you had 14 days.
Oh, I love that so much. Oh, man. And it is, like, somebody commented yesterday. Let me get this straight. So everybody but Golish is lying at spring meetings, like, not necessarily,
not lying, but
when you hear the other approaches that coaches and athletic directors take, it sure is noticeable when yours doesn't take that approach.
Yeah, I mean, the awareness is refreshing at the podium.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, not everything I say is going to fix all the world's problems. I'm a football coach, and I'm going to do what I can to prepare my football team.
Yeah. Huh. How about that?
How novel.
How about it doesn't have to be more than that.
Self-awareness.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and yeah, and a recognition that it is, it's a billion-dollar industry, and there's a lot of stuff tied into it. But at the end of the day, and a football coach is a powerful person within a state or a culture, certainly within a university. Sure. There's no question about that, but they're not presidents. They're not congressmen and women. They're not like they're football coaches. No,
it's a different job.
Yep.
And there's some aspects of Golish, you know, that the head coach, that's the politician part of the role.
Yeah.
That I think he's starting to do and you're starting to see. And that's great. That's awesome. Golish is going to do his job and he's going to focus on doing his job.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing he asks.
That's right.
Of his players and of his position coaches and his support staff. Be who you say you are.
Yeah.
He's not saying he's the guy to fix the college football playoff for the state of college football.
Yeah.
He says he's the guy who's going to fix Auburn football.
I kind of love, too, Zach, that he didn't even try to divide his attention. He used exactly zero brain cells to be like, well, I guess I need to have an opinion on the playoff. I guess I need to have an opinion on nine-game schedule or Cupcake Saturday. I guess I need to have – no. I don't need to have an opinion on it. I just need to get the team ready to play.
Or, Brad, he probably does have an opinion on it. It may not be super fleshed out because he hasn't spent a ton of time on it.
Yeah, that's fair.
But he knows, like, me sharing his opinion is irrelevant.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I love it. Let me tell you about a relevant opinion that you need in your life, and that is Ford Stokes.
Oh, my goodness.
Because it's not just an opinion when Ford does it. Like, people are trusting their retirement, their money, to Ford Stokes and Active Wealth Management, and you can, too. Go to Calendly.com/Ford Stokes, and you can book your appointment directly. This is not a bit. This is not like a gimmick. This is his actual calendar, and you can book your own time there. Make sure that your retirement is squared away. You got to have a plan. And Ford will help get you exactly where you want to be so you can live a good life when you're retired. So go to
I was on the phone with Ford for about 30 minutes yesterday, just chatting with him. He's a good friend.
Yep.
But he's actually up in Connecticut, Delaware.
If he's in Delaware, is he recruiting?
There's a new product. There's a new product that he's looking at, and he was telling me about it. And it's, I mean, the guaranteed returns are absurd. So, go check him out.
Okay, good. So I like that. Ford staying ahead of stuff, too. Not just doing the same old, same old.
Best in the biz.
So on the subject of whining a little bit, I chuckled because this is not me coming after Steve Sarkisian, but I did chuckle that he made a little, again, this is kind of sensational, too. But he's like, I don't know what the right number is, but I do know where we are now is wrong. Like, all right, I don't have the answer, but right now is a mess. The 12 number to the SEC coaches for college football playoff expansion. 12 is wrong. His reasoning for it is right. And his reasoning is because now we've created a playoff or bust type of mentality. It's like, and it might be that way at 4, might be that way at 8. It might even be that way at 24, but at least at like 24, okay, you can kind of, like, it makes a little more sense to be playoff or bust if you go to a 24-team playoff. He's exactly right, but this is something you can hold ESPN accountable for, and that is just creating this identity around college football season that if it's not the playoff, it doesn't matter.
Right.
That's why players opt out and this, that, and the other bowl game. Bowl games aren't meaningful now to most because of that. So you go to 24, and this has been the argument for 24 for weeks now, is it makes more games relevant for the totality of the season.
Yeah.
So he's right about that. I chuckled because he was like, I don't know the right number, but I know where we are now is wrong. That's not, all right, fine. So let's set the baseline that there's a problem. We can't stay at 12. But I think he's right. 24. Makes it more meaningful. Doesn't devalue the regular season at all.
Yeah, mean, there's pros and cons to all of it. I mean, my perfect number, I think, is eight. And it kind of has been. You know, 12 seems like too many, but they seem to be okay with watering down what it takes to be a playoff team, which is good for most teams, and it will make more games in November matter, 100%. When the 21st team plays the 17th ranked team in November, that game's important. That game really, really matters all of a sudden, which is cool. That's interesting and that's fun. And there's a chance Auburn's a part of some of those games in the coming years, which is good for Auburn for sure. How we get the teams is still my biggest question mark and concern, because there seems to be inconsistencies year to year with the committee. If it was up to me, whatever number of teams you want, 4, 8, 12, 16, 24, whatever.
Yeah.
I would go back to a system like the BCS.
Yeah.
And use as a, this is what the algorithm values.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun. Make the formula extremely public.
Yep.
These are the things that it's looking for.
Yep.
There's no bias. That's what it's programmed to do.
Yeah.
The human element of it, I don't like. And I think the more teams you add, the worse those decisions could potentially be.
Yeah. We haven't done anything to quiet the arguing over the last team in. So when there were four, we argued about who should have been four or five. Like, we still argue about who should be 12 or 13. We'll still argue about who should be 24 or 25. We argue about it with the NCAA tournament bubble.
Yeah, we argue about the 69th team.
Yeah. Nice. We do it with baseball regionals, too. I can't believe Mercer didn't get in. Does it matter? Mercer's not going to win a national championship in baseball.
Right.
So it's just a different, like, you're not going to do away with that argument. You're not going to do it. I'll tell you what else you're not going to do. And this is, coaches have, or I've heard this talking point, that coaches want 24 because it will mean more job security. It won't.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think it will. No.
I do.
I think the bar changes on what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. Like, I think if you... I think a team that makes the playoff consistently somewhere between 18 and 24, but they don't advance past the first round, that's not enough. It'll be like a basketball program that can't get out of the first weekend.
Maybe so. That might be true.
Now, I mean, if you take...
That's going to take some time, though. I mean, we're talking years down the line, but that's probably true.
Yeah. I think you'll get closer to... It's so funny where, like, nothing is new under the sun. Everything's cyclical. You have a 24-team playoff, finishing the year in the top 24 now becomes a big goal. Well, 30 years ago, what was considered a successful season? Finishing in the top 25. You had a good year, we finished in the top 25. And you're going to get back to that. It's just going to result in a playoff game instead of a final end-of-year ranking.
Yeah.
Because it's all cyclical. How do you feel about three night games? Well, not three, I guess. One's an afternoon game. But the first two home games of the year being at night.
Love it.
Yeah.
That Florida game is going to be one of the best atmospheres in a long time.
Isn't it, though?
And it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, that game already feels like there's so much on the line.
Could you argue that is the second most important game to Alex Golish this year? Maybe we need a show on that next week. Maybe that's a show next week.
That's probably a show next week.
Yeah. Because there...
There's two that pop up that are probably ahead of it.
Okay.
Maybe three.
Okay.
Maybe four.
Ooh.
No. Well... I'm putting Baylor in there just because it's the next one, right?
Okay. Yeah.
But, I mean, I think that's the most important game of the season. So, if you lose that, you lose a lot of things, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of things really get away from you. But, yeah, we can have that conversation.
All right. I like that.
Next week, for sure. Have you... There's a new show, the same people that made Stranger Things put out. It's called The Burrows. And we finished it last night. I think it's worth your time.
Where? What platform is it on?
Netflix.
Okay. I've rotated off Netflix right now. I'm on Apple TV right now watching Friends and Neighbors. I'm on season 2 of your Friends and Neighbors.
We watched the first few of those and then stopped.
Okay. Just couldn't get into it?
I love the first season of that show.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. A couple items for the summer watch list for everybody out there. Can I add something else to the summer watch list? Barn Baseball Show, regional preview. An hour of Lindsay, Sonny, me. We also bring Eric Guevara on to preview the regional. It's on. If you're listening, it's on the same channel. If you're watching on YouTube, it's on the same channel. However you get the show. Barn Baseball Show, hour-long regional preview. Go check that out. We'd appreciate it.
All right. I think that does it for today's show.
Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. Please subscribe. And remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.